I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Thursday, April 10th, 2014, to order. And ask if there are any commission remarks before we begin. Mr. Finley, could you join us for a moment?
Sure.
We have designated monthly budget report.
I sent this guy's, I think last week, there's a couple of departments that we probably need to look at. One of those, I think Ron and I talked about, presiding judge is at 49% of his budget right now. And
actually, he's at 49% of the
budgeted amount.
Guardian ad litem, right?
Actually, 49% of the budget is all that I have.
The overall budget?
Mm-hmm. Guardian ad litem is the biggest part of it, so. And I did send an email, didn't get any response. You asked about that, and I think I sent that back to you.
I met with the circuit clerk yesterday, and that was one of the topics of discussion, Rick, and she's carrying that message on.
Okay.
So we'll should have discussions sooner rather than later.
Yeah. In GR, I don't see anything else that's really alarming. As you guys get the sales tax also, and kind of disappointed we're not bringing in more sales tax than what we were. But other than that, I don't have anything really that catches my attention. Did you guys have any questions?
As I'm looking out into the audience, I'm curious as to what the city's sales tax revenues were this time around. The county's dropped by approximately 12% compared to this month last year.
Ours was down 30%.
30?
That sounds draconian, but when you have little numbers, that can just be thousands of dollars, and so it turns out to be that. But we were down about 30-some thousand in 1 cent. And so for a month, that's not good. But I think, at least for us, we were recognizing that it almost is an alternating cycle. Yeah. We have 1 month down, 1 month up. And we believe that that's a function of the Department of Revenue's ability to process everything. And so sometimes they get it all, sometimes not so much. But for Hollister, for this month, we're down.
Rick, ours is the same way. Some of our months are smaller months normally, so if we're down on one of those smaller months, it's not as big a thing. Or if we're up on one of those smaller months, it's not as big a thing. So I understand that completely.
Well, the weather on last month is going to play a big part with no one being able, just being lucky to get out of their house, much less to be on the streets or shopping or anything like that. So,
and this, of course, the sales tax for this month, the one that we just got on the 3rd through the 7th of this month, would have been not for February, but would have been for late, or not for March, but it would have been for February and some of January. So that weather was particularly
onerous.
Ugly about that time.
Anything else, Mr. Finley?
Not that I know of. You guys didn't have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, we received your email with the breakdown. Appreciate it. Accounts payable. Let me note for the record that we had held a warrant before to an individual because of an agreement that was drafted by and between an officer and an individual. Our county council has addressed that and placed an addendum on it whereby there is now an agreement in place by and between the commission and that individual that's serving as contract labor, and obviously the agreement being drafted by the Commission's Council is approved by the Commission's Council. So as far as that individual warrant, I believe we should include that, and Rick has listed it in an item named Checks Waiting to be Approved.
Move to approve checks numbers 339164 through 339325.
What?
Hold on. 40 and 41 aren't listed on here. So why? Normally just run straight through. Move to approve checks numbers 339164 through 339238, 339239 through 339242, 339243 through 339325, warrants 5966 and 5967, and also check number 339053.
And that does include the check that was in question, Mr. House.
That's the 053, yeah.
I'll second the motion.
Also, there's a journal entry.
Journal entry from 135-3003 to Department of Computer Department.
Motion's made and seconded to approve checks as herein described in the motion, two warrants, and a journal entry to various departments for computer parts. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Previous meeting minutes, both regular session and executive session.
Just want to point out to you guys, I've changed one of the executive minutes. Instead of present, you voted aye.
Got it.
Move to approve regular meeting minutes dated 3/31, 4/3, and 4/7, and executive minutes dated 3/31 and 4/7. With corrections.
Sir. Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve previous commission minutes dated 3/31, 4/3, 4/7. Executive session minutes dated 3/31 and 4/7. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Bids for independent audit services, Mr. Erickson. Mr. Finley.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're here this morning for RFP number 201403-252 for independent audit services. This particular project was scheduled for opening on Monday. We opened responses from four different firms here in front of you all on Monday, and Mr. Finley requested time to review all of those packages. We were scheduled for this morning to deliver a recommendation for award, and I think I'll turn it over to Mr. Finley at that point.
Again, I sent you guys an email on this, and I'm sure that simple as it was, you guys could figure that out, but there was a couple things in there that maybe weren't obvious, and that was that the low bidder had never done a first-class county. They've done a lot of third-class counties, but there's a lot of difference between those two, and so because of that, they might not be as qualified.
Who was the low bidder?
Just a second.
Beard
Bamer, and Associates.
Where are they out of?
Columbia, I believe.
Okay.
And what I did also was I ran these out through a three-year period rather than just a one-year period, because we do ask that they be able to renew this for a three-year period. And it makes those bids really pretty competitive. And being competitive, I feel the most qualified to do that is KPM Associates. I know they do a lot of different first-class counties around here and have a very good reputation. So that would be my suggestion, that we go there.
Who did you say again,
Rick? KPM.
As we put those out to bid, you made mention of a three-year extension.
And Ron can tell you more about this, but we write the bids so that we can renew that and ask them to give us renewal rate for 3 years, maybe even 4 years. I'm not sure, but I ran it out for 3 years.
If my memory serves me correctly, and sometimes it doesn't, but last year, was a two-year.
Actually, I think it was three. We could have renewed that if we wanted to.
That's right. It could have been renewed last year on.
Did that individual also bid?
Yes, they did.
And they weren't low?
They were second bidder there.
If I'm remembering correctly, your email also included the amount of monies that the different companies had bid. I'd like to go through these and make a couple of calls regarding the ones that have audited other counties that
Rick, what's the A1333 or 133?
That's the if we have grants that total more than.
Okay. So the A133.
It's a single audit. It's what it is. Yes. And this year we don't think we'll have to do one. Most likely, if we get the flood buyout next year, we will have to. And hopefully, we can get that in one year, so that we won't have to do it more than 1 year in the next three.
Yeah, I just see it cost with and without. So.
KPM, were they another company? They have another name?
You're very familiar with them. You're not familiar with the name. That was before Davis Lynn Moots. KPM bought Davis Lynn Moots out.
Okay.
And I know Andy Marmaget is their lead audit person.
Okay.
They are very familiar with the county, too. I think they did the sewer audit this time. I'm not sure.
You might help me which I didn't understand either the EL, and I apologize, and or the spreadsheet, but it looks to me like Beard, Boehner, and Associates are not the cheapest, at least for the bid for, oh, they are. My apology. She jumped considerably, didn't she?
On the one-year basis, the firm we used last year would be the lowest on 1 year, but after 1 year, then it's rather.
Jumped $3,500. It went up $3,500.
Yeah, if you gentlemen want to make a decision today, we can do that.
I was going to state that I'm asked quite frequently when they see this on the agenda, they ask about the state bid, which
state
is totally separate from state audit. And so I try to explain that situation through. It's totally separate, and this is associated with grants.
Then this is a financial for the county that we have to do to meet our agreement on the bonds that we have.
Move to award RFP number 201403-252 to KPM CPAs based upon recommendation from the auditor.
Could we include in that it would be for 1 year, but we have the ability to extend for two more?
Yes.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to accept the bid as presented by KPM for a 1 year period for the audit of 2014 with the ability to extend for two more years as defined in the bid. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Yes, sir.
Can I go ahead and contact them? I'm sure that they, I'd like for them to get started as quickly as possible so that they can finish this before July 31st. That's when our deadline really is for our bonds, and I know that they may need that time. Just want to make sure it's okay, either myself or Mr. Erickson.
I would appreciate it if you
I'll be notifying all the vendors, and that includes that you'll be contacting the award.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Biosolids change order, discussion of a storage silo addition to the project. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. We'll go ahead and start with the change order, and Mr. Pacino will be handling that.
Okay, good morning. Mike Pacino with HDR. We have a change order proposed for the biosolids project, contractors Carson Mitchell. There are three items in this change order for consideration. They're all electrical issues. Total change order is $23,682.87. What we're looking at are changes. First item is related to addition of a disconnect to the exterior of the building at the Cooper Creek plant. This is an additional code requirement of the city of Branson that was not part of the original design. We're at a point where we can add that without it being an excessive cost because we're tearing anything out. We're at a good time to put that in, and this would have been how the contractor would have bid it previously, so we are comfortable with the cost related to that. The second item relates to some wiring and breakers that need to be revised to accommodate equipment as it's being provided. Again, we're at a point where we're talking about material costs, not any work being undone or anything else related to that. The third item is related to the utility service. There is an underground service to the facility. It was previously understood that it would have been provided all the way to the building by the utility, but what we've realized is that they will not install the conduit itself. We are responsible for that, and then they will pull wire through that for the service to the building. We'll point out there was some confusion in our initial among the Biosolids Coalition about some items related to that last item there. Just as a point of clarification, there were talking about a 220-foot linear feet of conduit in the ground. Approximately 120 feet of that requires rock breaking, and approximately 30 feet of that is under pavement that would have to be restored. So there were some questions initially among the group about the cost. Going back and confirming what we have, we believe that the cost we have is very reasonable from the contractor for a change like this. Today, I guess the action would be to ask you to approve this, and then we would execute it and move forward with it. I guess I'll open that up to questions or comments or any other discussion or anything you guys would like to know. Rick, do you have any?
Do the change orders as presented fall under the amount that was budgeted by the county for this project?
Yes, I should have mentioned that before.
But does this also bring us very close to what that projected amount's going to be?
Yes, it does.
Do you foresee any other change orders in the future?
I can't rule out the possibility, but I don't know what. I don't have anything pending right now that would put us over that budgeted amount at this point. But given the nature of a construction project, you don't know when we'll be there. But yes, we are within the allocated budget of the project with this.
These are, again, help me out, change orders 3, 4, and 5?
Well, change order 3 with 3 items in it.
Change order 3.
And this is a change of policy from the electrical company.
We understood they were going to provide it, and it apparently is not their policy to provide the conduit itself.
Right, I'm familiar with that, but I didn't know when future plans are drawn up for that. That I don't know if I can make this statement or not, but they. You need to those changes in their policy seem to be quite frequent, and so we need to check those out, no matter what level, if we're doing anything or if you're doing anything through the sewer district or anything there. I just got through doing a little project. And it's totally different than it was earlier.
We had worked with them during the design process, and this was not brought up as an issue that we would have to have provided ourselves.
Right. Was it understood that they would provide it, though?
That's what we understood, yes.
So did you go and fight them for it?
They weren't moving on it. I mean, we discussed it with them, but they were pretty solid on staying with that.
Who is it? Empire or whatever?
Empire.
How much of the change order does that cost, do you know?
About $10,000.
Anything that comes in over on any other change order over budget that comes out of half of this was through the grant, half of it through the sewer district. So anything else the grant doesn't move, but we do, right?
If there's going to be any additional funds, those funds are going to have to come from somewhere, and they won't come through DNR. So they'll either come from local entities that are involved in this project, they'll come through the county, through the sewer district funds, not sewer district, but sewer funds. But right now, we've not reached that level. We're still within the overall budget that was predicted in the beginning, even with these change orders.
When did...
How much?
$1,100.
That's getting close.
And actually, there was improvements to the facade of that building that was at Branson's behest, and they did pay for that at $250,000. So
yes,
there was local participation for something that wasn't essential to the project, but they wanted to see, so they went ahead and did that.
So the partnership has discussed this possibility of extensive change orders, is what I'm saying, isn't it?
Yes.
Anything that has to do with the electrical companies and the breaking of rock, the amount shoots up at a tremendous rate right quick. I mean, one
we actually had a fairly direct conversation with the contractor in the board meeting, and I actually initiated an email initially because it seemed a little bit unreasonable, but what that was stemming from was we didn't have quite all of the information. When we originally got the change order, it looked like it was $10,000 for a smaller amount of conduit. Once we got the contractor face-to-face, he assured us that it was 220 feet and it was down to about $45 a foot to lay that conduit, hammer out the ditch, and put it under concrete and do all the stuff. That was much more reasonable. When we first got it, it exceeded $200 a foot there for a little while. I told them Hollister would come over and do that for them if we needed to. But as it turns out, this was looked into at some degree. Chris and Carson Mitchell has been very good to work with us and very sensitive to this stuff, and he has went back to his electrical contractor to make sure that what is happening here is best price and all of that. Empire is pulling the wire. They're providing that stuff. So, I mean, it could be even more expensive than that, but obviously we would have noted that in the original bids for construction. So this is one of those things. But again, as Mr. Messina points out, change orders are always these that we bump into that weren't anticipated initially, or otherwise we would have covered that base. And Chris from Carson Mitchell went down and looked at the manufacturing in Arkansas of the drum dryer and of the electrical panels and stuff. And when I take one look at the photographs of all of this stuff going together, in my estimation, the chances of that coming just fitting in and we're not having to modify a little something outside of the original contract, there's a lot to this. And so I'm going to say, and these are kind of one-of-a-kind projects, so I would guess that it's reasonable to believe that we'll have a change order somewhere along the line, and how we address that will depend on what that change order is and that. Again, the partnership, the county's ownership of the facility, the partnership will make a recommendation on these things, but obviously we're going to come to the owner and try and work through what's the best way to move forward with these change orders. Some of these, I mean, obviously the electrical company has the power and we need it. So there's a point where we can discuss this a lot and we can help or hurt relationships, but it really isn't going to change the outcome. So there's a pragmatic side of this too at some point, but
I thought the place where there might be able to be some give was at the contractor, but once we got done with the final contractor, got done with the final scope of the work, his bid was competitive and was reasonable. So, but there, rest assured, this didn't just go through easily. This went through with
scrutiny.
I understand. Plus. My only question is your mention of, you know, the distance, road bore. I mean, if you know there's a road there, you know you got to go under it. Some, a lot of times they don't even let you dig under. The way I understand it, you can replace with a dig here, whereas it's going to be a road bore, most generally, which is quite expensive as you go. So, anyway, I'm ready to make the motion to approve this. Get a number on it.
The chair would entertain a motion to approve BioSolids change order number 3 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve BioSolids change order number 3 as presented today. Discussion?
I have a quick question. When it says the exterior disconnect, when was that code amended to where that was needed?
I don't know the date.
And was it done after it was?
May have been, may not have been. If it was prior to design, it just wasn't picked up. Or during design, it wasn't picked up. So it's a modification to the standard electrical code that most cities adopt, and it was just a city-specific item that was not addressed in design.
Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Now, for the bigger issue,
in product storage at the facility, want to leave the discussion, just make it clear, we can operate the facility as it's currently designed. It can operate that way and save $700,000. I think that would be not very efficient and would be a difficult position for all, and ultimately would cost more money than the $700,000 to fix it. And I appreciate the magnitude of $700,000+. The facility is designed to put some type of container, a fertilizer buggy or a truck or something under the discharge point in the building. As the material is dried, it sprinkles out of a tube and drops into the truck or the buggy. Under that circumstance, that has to be moved or adjusted so that the pile doesn't run over. It has to be watched. It has to be all of these things. So that's going to be labor intensive. And the access to the building would only be during hours of operation for when the dryer is running and when the operation is manned. So limited hours, and it has to have some management of the container that this goes in so that it doesn't overflow or spill or things like that. Because obviously if it's in a truck bed, it would fill a cone up, and then you have to move the truck some or flatten that cone out or do something to continue to accommodate that, and there'll have to be somebody there when that's going on. What we are anticipating doing with the end product is to go out for bids for contractors that would like to purchase the end product and distribute that on their own. Mr. John Dees, who many of you may know, or local agricultural businessman, has attended most of the recent meetings for several months because he's interested in that, and as he points out, that system doesn't lend itself very well to having a commercial distributor. We could eventually take the truck or the buggy out and dump it at some place, and then he can come along later and upload it and all of that additional handling. One solution to this is to modify the structure with a tube delivering the material to a grain bin hopper type of a thing that a truck can drive under, and it would be exterior to the building so that a commercial hauler that wanted to start work at 6 a.m. in the morning could go load trucks out of that bin and disperse the material. We, as the operators of the facility, would just go ahead and the material would fill the bin. And so it would have enough capacity to operate, and operators would not have to be adjusting buggies and moving trucks and flattening piles and loading and unloading and doing all the things that the design would be now. And so that's kind of the impetus to this, is that best practice and to some degree common sense says that the way we have it designed right now is possible to work, is without a doubt the cheapest method, but probably not very efficient and doesn't lend itself very well. And that wasn't really envisioned initially, that this was going to turn out to be like this. But once we've gotten through this and once we've looked at the details of some of this stuff, this is becoming more apparent. And when you work with people like John that work in this every single day, it becomes obvious that his experience says the way you've got it designed might work in engineering terms, might work in whatever, but it really doesn't work very efficiently for the system that we use, that's commonly used. One other fact bearing on the issue is that the interior of the building where this is going to be offloaded is now has one level of fire suppression in that building to address any type of dust fire or anything of that nature in that building. If we move that, if we take this to the outside and we put the hopper up or the grain bin up, then that fire suppression will not be needed, because it is specifically to address this issue. So there would be a small amount of cost savings, but it would be minor in compared to the overall cost of this, but could be in the $50,000 range-ish.
Yeah.
They have not ordered that material for the building yet. Actually, they have, and we would owe about a $4,000 design fee.
Yeah, we would. Material is not, shop drawings have been submitted and they've been approved, so the suppliers would have their time associated with that sort of preparation, but they've not manufactured or delivered materials, and they've not been installed. So those are costs that could be recovered.
So we're trying to determine a direction here prior to that. So we can go ahead and complete the project as designed and in budget as far as all of that goes. I think in long term we're going to look at that and say this was not really a wise move. And then we have spent that money, and that won't be recoverable, and then we'll have to spend a like sum to go out and modify it to do this sooner or later. So that's what brings us here. So, and what we would ask for would be some of the capital improvement money to do this that would benefit the communities in the county. So that's our ask. That's why we're doing it. We've got some preliminary design. The cost comes from one provider. We are getting costs from another provider. I don't know if we've...
We did not get them before this morning's meeting.
Okay. One of the things that adds cost to this is the requirement to put nitrification for fire suppression inside of this, so that if you would get a bin fire or if you would get that type of a thing, that it would... the nitrogen would replace oxygen, and that wouldn't happen. That's what adds to the expense of this. So that's part of why this seems expensive. But
how time sensitive is the decision by the commission?
The ability to save cost in the current contract goes down as time goes on. As Rick was discussing, there are items related to the fire rating of the room, the loading room that we've got currently in construction, that could be removed and costs could be recovered from that. If the contractor builds it out as designed, then the cost is the current contract cost, and this could be added at a later date, but without the ability to remove some of these items that wouldn't be necessary in that case anymore.
Let me rephrase that. What's the window of time that we need to make this decision in order to fit?
Fairly soon. I mean, the contractor...
Do I have a week? Do I have a month? What do I have in the way of time?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
How much do they think, how much do you guys think will be produced per day or per...
As far as material, dried material goes, we're talking about initial production in the first year of a little over 1,000 dry tons.
Well, the reason I ask is, so the single storage silo, usable volume in 2,000 to 2,500 cubic foot range.
That's about a week.
So it'll store a week's worth of...
Yeah. We don't want to get past that. Just the... We're dealing with biological matter in a...
And you're... According to Rick last night, you could eat it, so...
I'm not going to dinner at Rick's house.
I said you could eat it. I didn't say I would eat it. It's a Class A product. And we pointed out that was another meeting. That was a sales point on Class A versus Class B.
So you got a week's worth in the current...
I don't know where he's been having dinner.
No. The current...
Did that have some fact bearing on this
issue? No, I just checked it. Sorry. The way it's currently designed, how much we can't hold any storage? It has to be trucked out as it...
It's trucked out as produced.
So we'll have the expenses in the trucking of...
Material. What...
Was this in the original?
Yes. The original intent of the project, when I went back and looked at the history of how this was put together, the intent was all the material produced would be distributed immediately back to the cities participating. And that the idea was that each city would provide a truck or something to bring their material back. And then when I got involved with the project and we were looking at the actual funding, you know, obviously we were looking to cut the project's budget to where it is, and so adding additional features was not part of the consideration at that point. The idea of having a single user purchase the material, you know, would help offset the operating cost of the facility, and it's a change of philosophy of how the material would be handled from what the original project appears to have envisioned. So did it have a silo at the beginning? No, it's never had one. That's never been a part of the concept of the project that I've been able to find.
This has been one of those nagging things that we have known in the back of our minds along that wasn't well thought through. We discovered that somewhere in the earlier stages, and we just kind of hoped it would go away. I mean, that was kind of the approach. I'd like to say this differently, but this is the truth. We just didn't want to hear about it, but when it's getting down to it, and again, like I say, I point out we can just do it. But it's not going to be right, and it's not going to be good, and eventually we're going to come to this other system. Now, the one thing that is stunning to me is the fact that we visited places that had silos. But they were grain bins, and they were $6,000 grain bins, and that was it. They just, instead of dumping them in the truck, they dumped them in the grain bin, and that was it. Well, they haven't had a fire, so I guess they're all right. But do the smart guys tell you you're going to have a fire, or you easily could have a fire, and you really need to do these things, or otherwise you could do this? They do. So now you're faced with the idea. I don't know what the smart guys told them. They didn't ask the smart guys. They just put up a grain bin and dumped stuff in, and the rice distribution guy or the golf course distribution guy came and got underneath the bin and pulled the plate, and it loaded his truck, and he put it back, and away he went. So that was pretty low tech, and that was something, and it seemed to be a kind of almost a non-issue if that's what we decided to do. But then when you get into it, you find out that that's not a very responsible approach. And so I'm a little leery.
You can burn up a lot of $6,000 grain bins for $700,000.
Well, that's true, but you injure one employee and that $700,000 will look pretty dang cheap, especially if it's one of the contractors and is injured because of our negligence when we've got a record that the smart guy said this is a bad practice. So once you're faced with all of that stuff, I think the choice really is this. We just gut it out the way we do it, the way it's designed, and we make it work somehow or another, and it'll just be kind of inefficient, and it'll just kind of be what it is. Or we can start it off on what we know is probably going to be the right foot and best practice. So that's really it. There's a cost associated with it. I hate this. That's why I'm the chairman of the council. That's why I'm fronting this. The engineers aren't fronting this. Nobody else is. The partnership is, and that's why the key players in the partnership are here, because this is not what we would want to ask you for, but it's something that we feel that we really need to do that. So that's kind of where we're at.
Does the partnership unanimously feel we should go this direction?
Yes.
Right, back to what I was asking. So you got a week's worth of storage, put it in a silo. You still have the issue of trucking it out of it, correct?
Correct.
Now, I understand it's based on the convenience of whoever takes its time.
But it has to leave the site at some point.
Right.
And so
either way, whether we do a silo,
whether
or
it's
not.
Us or whether it's them, it has to leave the site some way.
Well, if it's us, where would we take it to? To the same people that want to buy it anyway?
No, if it was us, we would probably use it as a soil amenity in parks and right-of-ways and things of that nature. But again,
would we still have the ability to use our own and not have to pay for it?
To some degree. That's based on the idea that if you contract with an agricultural supplier, they have to have a reasonable expectation that if they buy a $20,000 bin on the back of a $50,000 truck to make this all work, that investment, which we don't have to make, because we would just do it in dump trucks, dump it and manually use it. If they make that investment, that they should expect that there's a certain amount of that they can count on for their business to repay their investment. And if we use it all up and they've purchased all this, and then every once in a while we say, hey, we got a pickup load, why don't you get right over here and get that, then that's not going to be reasonable for them. And the other thing is, we had a farmer, one of the land application recipients was in there, and it's important to them to whether or not they can count on this and whether they have to buy commercial fertilizer to replace this or however that goes. So our decision process was, if we want to be a responsible partner in a chain, then we need to say we'll produce at least this much. If there's over and above that, the partners can have, and it's reasonable to believe that each of the partners can have a small amount for use and for, it isn't, I don't want to use the word novelty, but that comes to mind, that it's kind of an interesting thing and we want to see how it all works and all of that. We can contract this out for a year, and if in fact that turns out to not be the right direction, we'll have that contract for that period of time. We can go a different direction. But if I was Mr. Dees or any other contractor bidding on something like this, I would be a little nervous to make an investment, a ground silo, to store this out of the moisture and things like that, and then find out that we were not going to follow through and provide a stream of this material. So we're pretty good at treating wastewater. This is a lot better than going out and land applying it on fields for a variety of reasons. We just are not really in the business of competing with private industry for agricultural supplies and things like that. So we believe that that's best handled by a private contractor. It reduces the cost of operation of the facility because they do pay for the material. So the taxpayer benefits from that happening, and we don't have the expense of the continued chain of application. So that's kind of why the partnership is looked at contracting with a commercial hauler past the point of production.
Well, I have to soak a little bit of this up myself as far as the first ideas and not being at the meetings But first ideas was this is going to be a bag product that could be sold to the public to use for all sorts of purposes, gardening or flower beds or all this. When we're talking about massive scale now, when you talk about silos, are you talking about a ground type silo or are you talking about a silo that's built that you pull under and drop yep. the material in?
On our end of it, it would be the silo you pull under and the material. We put the material at the top, the distributor pulls it out the bottom.
There's no doubt when that goes in there, it's going to be a you guys should have all the facts on that if there's going to be extreme amount of heat.
Part of what's involved with the putting this in includes temperature monitoring, and then as Rick had mentioned, the nitrogen purge system to get oxygen out if we do run into an over temp or possible flare up. With material like this, you know, like any biological material, whether it's grain or otherwise, there's the potential for either dust or fires or just a smoldering kind of situation does exist. You know, you don't expect it to happen all the time, but you want to, like Rick was saying, take precaution to take care of it, but monitoring temperature is part of the process.
And there is a process as it is discharged from the drum dryer and that cools before it goes into any other kind of storage. So there is some cooling that does take place there. But again, that's still a point of risk that all works correctly. And so it has to be designed correctly to do that. So.
And have you looked at, your partnership looked at facilities that will do exactly what you want to do? Now, I'm not talking about a silo of that you drive down the road and see these farmers use, and I'm talking about a silo that is, number one, safety. The safety element of it, number two, it would be no matter how you try to do this without a silo, there's going to be people that's waiting there sometimes for it to fill up, and then there's going to be times when it's going to be full with nobody there.
That's common sense, my point exactly.
So,
and we're paying a government employee to stand there when, in fact, if we construct this, and you know, however you look at it, to avoid that, let's say don't pay the $700,000 or whatever it's going to take to get this done, and we just pay people to stand there. Well, there'll be a point where all of that trucking and switching around and the labor that we pay for that will overtake this cost. And this will still have ongoing maintenance costs, and I get all that. But again, there's some of this stuff that could be a one-time cost, and we start this project knowing that this is resolved. Or we start this project knowing that we still have some issues with managing this end product.
So we got 2 weeks to think this out, or less, 2 weeks or less. Do you have examples of silos that would work under the conditions that we're talking about, so that we don't what I was thinking was on-site, a look at an on-site silo that's already in operation that has the capability of heat distributing of the heat, whether it has a stirring, because I don't know how completely dry this comes out. I know it's a burnt product, but time.
It's
condensation.
Yeah, it's pretty dry, and I think there is a calculable angle, a steep angle in the bottom of the bin to keep it from caking on in the sides and the corners, and
right.
and to allow it to maintain, to slide, and do all that stuff.
Right. That's what I was wanting to see because
are there any of these already in existence?
Yes.
Okay. Where?
The one that's very most similar to what I'm talking about, I visited in Bowling Green, Kentucky last year.
It's
a much larger facility than this particular silo. The information I've received is for a project that was in design that's similar to this as well, but it's not complete, so I couldn't visit it. I know we have other examples within our company of very similar facilities across the country. I can get you a list, but
I think that's what Danny's asking.
But
the one thing that we've
but
faced.
Bowling Green, I believe, is probably your best example, and it's one that I visited along with Tim Glenn from City of Branson. We both saw that. He's familiar with it. And with the safety equipment, you're talking about how the truck loading facility is handled. What you have is your pneumatic feed to actually lift the material up into it, and the dust-proof chute coming off the bottom of it, so you're not blowing dust everywhere. So it's a good operation. Like I said, it's significantly larger than this one would be, but it would be a similar concept.
It's a one. Are these one-man operations that have to be there on site? Because if you don't, you're going to have somebody that's knowledgeable of shutting equipment off.
The dryer itself.
I'm talking about the distribution. It's the silo.
It's a gate. I mean, it's. I think yeah. One. I would say you probably want to have one of the operators from the coalition there to oversee it, to make sure.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, you got somebody in there, and you've got somebody that doesn't get the door or doesn't get the sleeve shut, and you have all kinds of problems. I'm just asking if there's going to be the labor expense. Is it going to be one man and the other people that's working around?
I don't think you're looking at additional labor beyond what's already there to operate the facility.
Okay.
If I'm understanding your question correctly, do we have to add another staff person to supervise this particular item? No. Well, it'd be less supervision than what the current concept envisions.
Can we have us a week or two to... maybe there'd be more questions that I'll have about.
Let me ask if there's any other members of the partnership that are here that would like to address this morning.
I think it's been well discussed. It would definitely enhance the operation, improve the operation of the facility. And I think, you know, Rick made the comment that all of us are behind it, and Branson is, and I'm sure the other partners are. And it took us quite a while to come together to come back to discuss additional funds because we had an agreement and wanted to go by that. But as we visited with John Dees and some of the other farmers that came in, it would tie up their time because it may take a number of hours to load a truck or maybe a day. So it really wasn't practical for them to tie up their equipment. And it will aid in the operation and the staff time because we will have to have someone there quite a bit of time loading some type of a buggy or truck. So if they would put that right into the grain bin, that's what they want to help.
I think common sense tells us that if this is added, it's going to be certainly a better facility, much more practical for those that want to utilize what we're providing. Danny, we're at, or at least we have the MAC conference, which is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So next Thursday would be our first, a week from today, meeting. And it would be my opinion that we need to schedule a discussion, include within that, at least in portion, review of the budget, where we're at, what we have looked at over a three-year period with Sewer District, and funds that are quasi-committed there. But if you give us a little bit of time, certainly we're going to look into this and what you've proposed today and get back with you, I think, as soon as possible with an answer. And we may have some additional questions. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's all right to get a hold of you all and chat about it. And
very definitely.
Is that all right, gentlemen? We will shoot for that discussion for Thursday. Not guaranteed that will happen, but I'll see if we can do that ASAP. John, do you have any comments? Thank you all very much, unless you have some additional summarizing remarks.
Not at all. I appreciate your time, and again, we're all sensitive to the shortage of public funds or the critical commitment of public funds. We don't want to abuse that. This is not a, if this doesn't happen, the thing folds. That's not the case. And this isn't some kind of extortion deal. This is something that we need to think through and come out with the best possible answer that we all can come up with and afford. And we get that. So if we can't afford it, we get that too. And we're just going to have a guy move a truck as this stuff comes out. That's how it's going to go. So, but it would be a significant improvement to the operation. And again, when you guys know this and I know this, you look at guys like John Dees and people that are making a living doing this every day, and you look them in the eye and they say, you know, they tell us, you know in your heart what you're doing isn't very efficient. And if you do it this way, it'll be a lot better. Can't really argue with that. You got to say, yes, we get that. So that's kind of where we're at. But we appreciate your time, and we'll provide you whatever information you need to consider.
We thank you very much. Let us stand in recess for 5 minutes, and then we'll come back to...